Welcome back, Wild Bills. Today's episode, we are going to do something simple, but I think something that's foundational, and that's chili. And so it's going to be actually an elk chili. I need to get moving because it's getting late, and this is, as I always do, this is my real meal and my wife's real meal, so I've got to get this going. So I've already got a heavy enamel cast iron on the stove and been heating up. I've got some olive oil in it. Doesn't matter what kind of oil. It could have been vegetable, canola, whatever. Just a little bit on the bottom. And I've got, this is two small yellow onions. You could do a medium or a large onion. The nice thing about chili is it's kind of like shooting with a shotgun. It's not a precision weapon. And chili, in my mind, is not a precision dish. There is room for experimentation. There is room for inspiration. And so I kind of vary mine along the way. I have a recipe that I'm going to do today, but I have some things that I'll throw in sometimes. But I like to get my kind of sweat the onions. I've heard saute, I've heard sweat, cook until translucent, whatever the case may be. But I need to get them cooked down. And then as soon as that's at a satisfactory place, then I'll put in the meat and brown it. And then we can put in all the ingredients. So I find the sound of onions cooking, really anything sizzling in a pan, extremely satisfying. Now, the onions in this chili, they don't have to be all the way done because they're going to cook. But I think it's important that the onions kind of get sweated. You'll see kind of a pro tip. And let me, while these are doing this, let me take an opportunity just to kind of talk a little bit more about the podcast and why you ought to listen. You know, because I know people are probably like, really, cooking? I don't know, that's not something I want to listen to. Well, think about it this way. It's going to be cooking tips. And hopefully, along the way, you're going to learn things. And I'm not an expert, but I've learned the hard way. And I want to help other people maybe shortcut that process. And, like I said before, I'm really focused on elimination of wild game waste and helping people be better wild game cooks. And if people are better cooks, I think they'll waste less game because it will become natural. It'll become something fun that you want to do to be able to cook a wild game meal. I find it extremely fun. I drive my family crazy because I'm always like, hey, what would you like tomorrow? Hey, what would you like the next day? Because I'm always planning my thawing in advance, because you can't just like grab something out of the freezer and start, you know, with it within the next hour. It generally takes, I can get by with like 8 to 10 hours, but it'd be better if it's 24 hours in advance. So that takes some thought. So I will run through this while this is doing this. So we've got the onions are sautéing. This is about a pound and a half of elk. The recipe is really made for anywhere from 1 to 2 pounds, and you can kind of vary the ingredients a little bit by it. Once we get all that browned, you see, for those on the video, I'm holding a bowl with all the spices pre-measured and placed into a bowl. And so in that is 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, bring a little sweet, 2 tablespoons of cocoa. This is like baking cocoa. Just kind of think about like chocolate, or it looks like what we'd use for chocolate milk, but it's not, and it's unsweetened, and that kind of gives it a savory. Let's see here, also 3 tablespoons of chili powder, and that's a lot, and some people may kind of pull back on that, but that's what I like in there. 2 teaspoons of cumin, 2 teaspoons of paprika, smoked paprika. And 3 teaspoons of salt. Some also might say it's a little bit much, but I think it's just right. And 1 teaspoon of pepper is what's in that bowl that I'll put in there. We're also going to put in chipotles. And I do about a spoonful of chipotles in adobo. We're going to put in garlic. And I cheat and have pre-minced garlic in a jar. And my recipe calls for 6 teaspoons. If that's too much for you, pull it back to like 3 or 4. And it is kind of tomato based, so I do 2 cans of sauce, and I do 1 can of diced, sometimes petite diced tomatoes. And I like beans in my chili, and for some Texans, those are fighting words, but I'm from Oklahoma. So I understand, and not everybody likes that, so there you go. So that, I think, is everything in there. There's some variation you can do. Sometimes I'll put red and green peppers. Sometimes I'll put jalapenos. Sometimes I'll put canned chilies in there. Sometimes I'll put red pepper flakes. And I'll vary also the amount of, the chipotle to vary how hot it is as well. So the onions have sweated, and I'm putting in the meat now. And this is, like I said, about a pound and a half of elk. Let me ditch this plate. It's about a pound and a half of elk that I put into the refrigerator last night to thaw. And it's a big hunk, so it doesn't thaw that fast. So pro tip, and I've said this before, but I'll keep saying it because I think it bears repetition, a good way to expedite the thawing process is to take whatever piece of meat you've got, and you need it to be, like, if it's butcher wrapped, get it out of the butcher wrapping where you're down to probably the deli wrap, plastic wrap, or if it's like this burger was in a plastic sleeve, you know, when I stuffed it the first time, put that in a Ziploc that's airtight, watertight, squeeze out all the air, and seal it good. Throw that into some sort of a Tupperware container that you can fill with cold water, and then put that in the refrigerator. And the trick is that water is touching the surface of that meat and it is conveying, you know, its convection of the heat molecules essentially into the meat faster. I think of it as like it's extracting the cold, but, you know, a physicist would argue with me and say, no, it's the heat going in, not the cold coming out. But tomato, tomato. And whatever, you know, feat of physics that is, you end up with meat that is in a pretty thawed state pretty quickly. Sometimes I do that like the morning of, and you end up pretty good. But the bigger the hunk, the more difficult it is, you know. Once we get it browned, once we get the ingredients all in, dry and wet, we're going to then let it simmer for 30 minutes. And then you're essentially done. So it's pretty straightforward. Chili is a foundational recipe because I can make chili in like 30, 45 minutes, even with the simmer time. There's some tricks there. So if I were not recording this, what I would be doing is while the onions and meat are browning, I would have then measured out all of my ingredients into a bowl because there's quite a few and it takes time, right? So all my dry ingredients, so that when it's ready, I can just take that bowl and just toss it in, you know, all the contents of it. And that saves a lot of time. It's something called, you know, unproductive time. I've heard other home cooks and chefs talk about this. So just ways to be more efficient, because your family may get hungry. I know my wife does and doesn't like it if I miss kind of our, you know, we like to have dinner at like 6:30. And if I serve dinner at 7:30, that's not cool. And be kind of like a restaurant, right? You know, nobody likes to wait forever for their food. But I think, you know, chili is something that you can whip up. It keeps, you know, quite well for leftovers. We also do chili dogs, meaning, you know, for leftovers, maybe we'll do a hot dog and put some of the chili over it. It freezes extremely well. I sometimes make extra for camp food. So that I'll vacuum seal it into kind of a serving size, or if there's a couple of us, maybe a two servings into a vacuum bag. And then when, you know, we're at camp and it's frozen solid, and I would have thrown it in the cooler, right? It's starting to probably get thawed. I will put it in a pot of boiling water, kind of like sous vide, you know, and that was a recent episode that I did on sous vide, kind of like sous vide. It'll heat it up. You know, the water is boiling, or maybe it's simmering just under. It's like 200 degrees. If it's boiling, it's 212. And it will heat that chili up, and it won't melt the bag because it's like a high-temp plastic. And it's an easy way to reheat food in the circumstance that you're out and about. And you can do, you know, anywhere from 1 to 2 pounds. I cook my chili with no fat in it, and that's primarily because I'm not putting fat in most of my game meat. I do some because of some of the dishes that I make, like burgers or meatballs or meatloaf, things like that. You need it to get it to stick together. And so generally, and I've said this before, I generally don't put fat in. If you did have burger with fat, it's okay. You just might want to drain it because you don't want too much, you know, grease or fat in the chili. But what my point is this is does well with lean meat, which wild game is. Now, I kind of wondered, should I even do a chili recipe? But I will, you know, raise my hand and say that I used to, when I first started, cook chili out of a box. And what I mean by that is I bought all of the dry ingredients kind of, you know, pre-mixed, pre-measured and everything. And you just kind of dump all those in. You put in the sauce and you put in the meat and bada boom, bada bing, you've got chili. And it had a thing of cayenne pepper, and you would use all, half or none to make it anywhere from, you know, 0 to 2 alarm. And funny enough, I came up with this actually recipe because I was at a work event where we were doing a team building, and we were at a hotel, and they had the hotel chef there, and we had a chili making contest. And I was a supervisor of the group, so I wasn't going to like take over the project. And the team that I was on was like, well, you guys, you know, you run with it. And all of them said, we don't cook. And I said, okay, well, let's see what we got. And so I kind of ended up taking it over. They gave us a basis, kind of a basic recipe. They said, don't follow this recipe, but here is a basic recipe of chili. And they gave us all these ingredients on the table, and I came up with this concoction, essentially. And it was so good that it won the competition. So I call this my award-winning chili. So Chris's award-winning wild game chili. And I think the difference maker is the cocoa. I think gives it really great savoriness. The smoked paprika comes through, as well as the chipotles, because chipotles actually are just smoked jalapenos and the adobo sauce, and you can really taste that in the final product. So it's one of my favorite chilies that I've ever had. But like I said, I vary it as I go along. So I'm hoping that folks, first of all, I hope this helps somebody. And I hope that somebody's out there listening. I know that my mom's listening. Hi, Mom. But I would like to hear from folks. So, like, if there's something that you would like for me to cook, you have a question, or maybe you have a cut and you're like, dude, I'm having a hard time figuring out how to use this X. It doesn't have to be deer. I'm doing a lot of deer right now because I have a lot of deer in the freezer. Get on Instagram, on Wild Vittles Podcast, and shoot me a DM, and I'd like to converse, and I'll try to get back to you. You know, this is a passion project. It's for fun, not too serious. Okay, I would call that thoroughly browned. I'm going to get my let's start with wet ingredients. We're going to put the sauce in. 2 cans of sauce. My hand can opener here. I don't know why, but I have vivid memories of my parents having an electric can opener and the sound it made. But yeah, we have a hand can opener. I feel a little bit like I'm cheating when stuff comes out of a can, but come on, it's ingredients, you know? So I think we have to embrace the conveniences that we have in modern life, right? The diced tomatoes, people might say, hey, you're going to drain that? No, I want the sauce. And there's also a preference in, do you like your chili to be saucy? I've seen a test where, like, it needs to be able to stick a spoon in it and still, you know, stick straight up. And mine's probably not quite that thick. But you could always simmer it if so desired. So I've added the sauce, I've added the diced tomatoes, and what we've made at this point is tomato soup. So it's not a chili until you put, in my mind, the chili powder in there. So again, I've got my pre-measured ingredients I went over earlier, and I'm not going to run through that again. And it's in the show notes as well, in the description on what all these are. Very attainable. Probably the one that's most exotic for people is either the smoked paprika or the cocoa. But I think in a basic world, you've got to have at least the chili, the cumin, salt and pepper. And you can experiment from there. So I'm going to put that in. Make sure I got all of it out of the bowl. And mix those ingredients in. And I don't know, people might think it's weird about the cocoa. But I've heard of, a long time ago, I've heard of people putting in like chocolate bars into it. I think that's one of the maker, you know, key ingredients for me is really the cocoa gives it just a real good savory. Because you'd think, oh, that's really sweet. No, that's unsweetened cocoa. And funny enough, just something as basic as pepper. The pepper really gives it a bite. Okay, here's another pro tip. And I'm not going to do it just yet because it's not quite ready. But if you're a home chef, if you're a cook, you need to be tasting your food. If you taste your food for the first time that you serve it to somebody else, shame on you. Because you need to figure out, does it need salt? Does it need pepper? Have I missed an ingredient? And I'll often add a little bit of something. Because I'll taste it, and if you do this a few times, you'll be like, ah, yeah, that's missing something. You'll come up with a better result by doing that. And, you know, this is what's done, like, on a commercial basis, right? I've even seen, like, bartenders, they'll take a straw and a mixed drink, and they'll stick that straw in there, put their finger over the top, pull it out, and then they, you know, drink that straw, so they're not drinking out of your drink, but they're testing that drink to make sure that the mix, the balance of that drink is right. It's kind of what we're doing here, but not with the straw. And since this is my family, I can take a spoon in, and, you know, if I was cooking for somebody, I'd only use a clean spoon and then not reuse it, right? But this is with my wife, so I may, if you see me double dip with a spoon, don't send me any hate. All right, we have got our dry ingredients. We have got most of the wet ingredients. I need to put in the garlic, and I vary the garlic. Oh my God, it's so hard to open. I vary the garlic up to six cloves, and that's a lot. So sometimes I'll pull back. So here's, and this is pre-chopped, minced. So every teaspoon is a clove, notionally. I'm probably going to put in about four, two, three, four. Okay. Oh, that got stuck. Maybe a little bit more. Okay. We're going to put in five. Some people are like, oh my gosh, but you know, I hear garlic's good for you. It has medicinal purposes, I think, and it'll keep away vampires. Let's turn it down. I forgot I had it on seven. I generally cook on six. You may see or hear people say put in the garlic with onions, but you have to be careful about the garlic. Garlic will burn. And if the garlic, it's okay to brown it. It's okay to do it, like if you're going to cook it with onions, but put it in last. And when you add in the other liquids, it'll kind of slow down the cooking of it. But if you're just doing onions and then garlic and you burn it, it'll be bitter. And bitter's not cool unless you're making a bitter dish. I don't know who you'd make a bitter dish for. Maybe an enemy. I don't know. This is the chipotles, and dude, I love these diced chipotles. it makes me cough every time I smell them. I have to order these actually online. They're diced and they're in a jar, and that way I don't have to open a can and dice them myself. Plus I don't need a whole can, because even a teeny tiny can's got like several peppers in it, and I don't want to put several peppers in. So I normally put two or three big heaping teaspoons in there, or kitchen spoons. My wife is going to eat this, and so I'm making it a little bit cooler. So I'm going to get one heaping spoon and mix that in. And that is just some smoky wonderfulness. I know I have a reaction to it, but I love it. It's so good. All right. So mix that in, fold it in. And you can see now it's taking on the look of chili. I'm going to go ahead. Some people wait, and I just don't want to screw with it at the end. I'm going to go ahead and put the beans in. My chili is pretty liquidy, so I'm going to actually drain my beans. And I'm just using pinto beans. You don't have to use beans. You don't have to use pinto beans. You can do different kinds. I think everybody has their own favorite. Like I said, it's not necessary that you drain them. It's more of a preference. I just didn't need the additional liquid. I mean, everybody has their own kind of regional spin, right? You know, I think chili came from, maybe, I don't know about the original origins, but I know cowboys on chuck wagons used this. And, you know, they had meat because they had cattle. You know, if you had one go down or bad leg or something, they probably had some meat. They had beans and they had spices. I bet they didn't have tomatoes. Maybe they had some canned stuff. I don't know. But I bet their chili was pretty basic. But, you know, something kind of stick to your ribs, good campfire type meal. We're having a winter storm coming, and so that's another reason I'm cooking this up for cold weather here in Texas. All right, I'm going to give this one more spin, and then I'm going to put the lid on it, get it up to temp, and then I'm going to turn it down and let it simmer. Let me put this away. And then that's your chili. So we're going to let it simmer for 30 minutes. And then it's done. And then you get the fun part. You know, you can put cheese on top, jalapenos. I do mix Fritos in it. I think that's a must. I almost forget about it because it's just like a given. And you're good to go. Welcome back. So, as promised, we've let this simmer for about 30 minutes. I generally let it simmer covered. Today, my chili was a little bit more soupy. Doesn't sound good. It has more liquid. It's a little bit less thick. And so I'm simmering it uncovered. But we're in good shape. I think we've had enough elapsed time. I don't know what it is about the simmering, but it kind of brings it together. If you were to eat it as soon as you mix all the ingredients together, it's not the same product if you give it 30 minutes. And if you give it more, even better. And the next day, after you've made this, put it in the fridge and get it back out, it's even better. So I'm taking my Fritos and I'm pouring them into a bowl as if it was breakfast cereal. Oh, I need to turn off my oven. And so I like to get a good base of Fritos. This is for folks that aren't as familiar with the use of Fritos in your chili. And then I'm using a half cup measuring cup. A serving of chili for me is 2 cups. Some people it's 1 cup. So somewhere in that region. And you don't have to do it exact. Maybe I'll do 1.5. But I like to pour that over the Fritos. I think I'm going to do 1.5. Cool. And then I'm going to put a dusting of more Fritos. Top of that. And then you get I have Mexican shredded cheese. I don't suppose it has to be Mexican, but whatever cheese that you prefer. And it needs to be while your chili is good and steaming hot. And my measurement for cheese is generally a ridiculous amount. One of my future recipes that I'll do on here is cheese quesadillas, like with deer steak. And the cheese makes it, in my mind. And then to top it off, I am going to put in, this doesn't look too sightly, I'm going to put in some jalapenos. So jarred, kind of just regular jalapenos. I like to put those all over the top. It's kind of a little bit extra heat because my family doesn't like it too spicy. I like it spicy. So this kind of gives me a little bit more balance of a little more heat distributed throughout. It's like a surprise. It's like in a king cake when you find baby Jesus in there. And you get really excited about that. So let me get that all presentable. And distributed. So here you have Chris's award-winning venison chili. This time it's elk chili. Generally it's deer chili. Give it a try. Give it a whirl. It'll warm you to the core. It'll be good the next day, and it's great over a campfire. So bon appetit. Let's do it all for the wild game. Be bold, try new things, and I hope you will be a better wild game cook because of listening to this. So thank you.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.